Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Dach Samach Vav Omud Aleph. And we are beginning the brand new seventh perek with the Mishnah that begins a couple of lines down. And the Mishnah begins as follows. Amana l'koin gadol. If you have a woman who's an Amana who's not allowed to marry a Koin Gadol, but she nevertheless did, so as we pointed out previously, with the exception of Rabbi Akiva's opinion that says that the marriage is not chal with Chai V'Ladin, but Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Yeshua and all the other opinions do hold that the marriage is chal, so they are wedded. The Amona is in fact the wife of the Kohen Gadol. He has to divorce her, but she is his wife. So in this situation, Amona and the Kohen Gadol, or similarly a Grusha or a Chalutz, a Grusha is not allowed to be married on a Daraisa level, a Chalutz is not allowed to be married on a Darabanan level to a Kohen Hedjo, to a regular Kohen. So in both of these situations, Hichnisa lo Agde Meluk V'Avdi Tzom Barzel, Avdi Meluk lo yochlu b'truma, Avdi Tzom Barzel yochelu. Now, this is a huge chunk of information that we just gave here, so we have to remind ourselves, first of all, what Avdi Meluk are and what Avdi Tzom Barzel are. So, when a woman comes into a marriage, she may bring with her certain dowry, certain types of items that belong to her to a certain extent, but she gives her husband the right to use them. So, there's two different categories of items that the woman brings in. Those that are known as Avdei Melug are literally can be plucked. In other words, she brings them in, they belong still to her, but her husband has the rights to use the fruit, has the right to benefit and use the items. If the item goes down because he's using them, or because over time they get spoiled, they ruin, so then the loss is to the woman. If the item goes up in value, something that because of its value, it goes up in value, so it came in at $100 and now it's worth $500, so the value goes up for the woman. So Avdei Melug are something, for example, that she brings in is dowry, which she is totally in control of. She totally owns them. However, at the same time, the husband has the rights to use them. But they're considered definitely hers, albeit the husband has the right to use them. As opposed to Avdei Tzom Barzel, they're a different status. They're called Tzom Barzel. Tzom was the typical item that was brought in, so that's why it's specifically Tzom Barzel, but this would be any item. It's iron tzom. It's iron sheep. In other words, they're estimated to be a certain value when they come in. Let's say she brings in value of this Tzom Barzel type of a dowry. It's worth $1,000. So however the marriage ends, either Rahman al-Islam with death at 120, or if Rahman al-Islam there's a divorce, so whenever she collects her kasuba, so she gets back that $1,000. She gets back that item if it's still there and it's worth $1,000. Or, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, but she is absolutely guaranteed that she will get back $1,000. If it goes up, it goes down, it's to the husband's benefit or detriment, depending on whether it goes up or down. He has to pay her back the $1,000. That's why it's called iron tzon. It's absolute in that it is evaluated and that's what she's going to get back. So these two types of properties will obviously have a different status in this situation. When a Kohen marries a woman, so that woman, she was previously not a Kohen, she wasn't a Bas Kohen, she wasn't a Kohenes, so that woman is now allowed to eat Truma after the Nisuin, after the full marriage has been consummated, so this woman now is entitled to eat Truma, even though she's never able to eat Truma beforehand. Now, in the case of an Amana to a Kohen Gadol, or Grusha Chalutza to Kohen Hedjot, they're technically allowed to go and eat Truma, but since this marriage is not allowed, well, the marriage is chal, so they're not allowed to go and eat truma. But what about the property that they bring with them? We have a concept called kinyan kaspo, that anything that the Kohen owns is also allowed to eat truma. His animals are allowed to have karshinim, they're allowed to have vetch, they're allowed to have animal fodder that is truma. And likewise, if they own servants, so those servants are allowed to eat truma. So while the woman isn't allowed to go and eat truma when she comes into this marriage illicitly, it's an improper marriage, Almona Kohen Gadol, Grusha Chalutza Kohen Hedjot, but their property, so that's going to depend. So, as the Mishnah said, if she brought in both Avdei Melug and Avdei Tzom Barzel, she brought in, for example, servants that are considered in the Melug category, so they belong to her, but the husband has the right to use them, or they belong in the Tzom Barzel category, that whatever they're worth now, they're guaranteed that she'll get that value, even if 50 years later, the Eved is no longer worth what it was because he's aged, nevertheless, the husband will be required to go pay her back the value that was at the time of the marriage, when it was entered in, it was evaluated, so those types of properties have a different status, as the Mishnah will explain. So for the Avdei Melug, they belong to the woman, lo yochlu truma. Just like she can't eat truma, so those avodim that are Avdei Melug can't eat truma. However, the Avdei Tzom Barzel are allowed to go and eat truma, yochelu. Now the Mishnah continues and explains this. The Avdei Melug are considered belonging to the woman. And since this was an illicit marriage, so she doesn't have the right to go and eat truma from this illicit marriage. So in Mesu, because if these avadim were to die, the avadim alug, Mesu law, she's the one that suffers the loss. The husband has no responsibility for them whatsoever. In Mosirut, they actually go up in value, so she gets all the benefit. Osiru law, he has no benefit in their going up in value. He just has the rights to use them. So therefore, afal pishu chayv b'min hazon asan, even though he is obligated to go and feed them, Hare Elu Lo Yochlu B'Truma, since they technically belong to her, and we'll have to explain why they're not considered still his to a certain extent, because he does have the right to use them and he does have to feed them. Nevertheless, they consider belonging to her, and just like she can't eat, so too her avodim that are Abde Maluk can't eat. As opposed to Ve'elhin Abde Tzom Barzo, the Mishnah says, those that are in the category of Abde Tzom Barzo, so then in this situation, in Mesu, Mesu Lo, Vimosiru, Siru Lo, here in this situation, he accepts all benefit or loss in this situation, because he has to pay back the $1,000 that Tzom Barzo, it's iron steel slaves in this situation. And therefore, if they go up in value, it's to his benefit. If they go down in value, if they die, so then his loss, he still owes it $1,000. I picked that number again, $1,000. It's not $1,000. It's whatever they were evaluated at. And therefore, since he is totally responsible for them, since he is obligated in taking care of them in every respect, they're his. He has to pay back the $1,000 value no matter what. Therefore, they are allowed to go and eat truma. They're considered his, and the Kenyan Kaspo of the Kohen is allowed to eat truma. Mishnah continues with the halacha from this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Emor. Bas Yisrael Shenises LeKohen. If you have a regular Jewish lady who's not a Kohen, not a Bas Kohen, and she marries a Kohen, so now she'd be entitled to go and eat truma. Once they're fully married, she's entitled to eat truma. Technically, even from the point that they have Erisin, she's allowed to eat truma, but there's the famous Gezerah of Ulu, which we learned previously, that says that we don't allow her to go eat truma in that situation, because maybe she's going to take some truma back home. She's not yet living with her chosen, so she may take some truma back home and feed it to her siblings, and that would be not, of course, allowed. So, Abbas Yisroel, Shenises LeKohen, she's allowed to go and eat truma. Now, she comes in with avodim. Lichnitza lo avodim. She comes in. This is a legitimate marriage. This is a fully sanctioned marriage. So any avodim she comes in with, bein abdei maluk, bein abdei tzom barzo, whether they're in the maluk category of dowry or whether in the tzom barzo category of dowry, they belong to the kohen and to her. And since she's allowed to go and eat the truma, so her avodim that are maluk can eat the truma, as well as the avodim that are certainly tzom barzel, they can eat the truma. So both of them in this situation are elu yochlu b'truma. Both the avodim maluk and the avodim tzom barzel can eat truma in this situation. Vice versa, uvas kohen shenises liyisrael. If you have a bas kohen that got married to Yisrael, so she went from being allowed to eat truma to as soon as she's married, even erisin to the Yisrael, she no longer can eat truma. So now, if she has avodim, so until now the avodim, when she was a bas kohen, she was allowed to eat truma, so her avodim allowed to eat truma. So in this situation, when she marries out of the kahuna, she marries a Yisrael, or a lady, she marries outside a kohen, so now any avodim that she has, whether the malug or whether the tzom bazel, the chlisol or avodim, bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzom bazel, harel lo yochlu b'truma, they no longer can eat truma, because she no longer is considered a kohenes, she now is considered the wife of a Yisrael. And therefore, just like she can no longer eat truma, her kinyan kaspo are no longer considered a kohen's kinyan kaspo, and therefore they can no longer eat truma as well. That's a big chunk over here, the Mishnah, and now we're going to discuss this. The Gemara questions and says, why can't the Abdei Malug, in the first case of the Mishnah, not be allowed to eat Truma? After all, why shouldn't this be the Kohen's property? The Kohen is halachically married to the Amon. The Kohen Gadol is married to the Amon. The Kohen, the regular Kohen Hedyot, is married to the Grusha Chalutza. The Kiddushim were Chal. So this is his Kinyan Kaspo with Osavodah, because anything that his wife owns, he technically owns. Yes, he has to divorce her. But until then, Levi Ki Kinyano Shekona Kinyan, and therefore, he should be allowed to go and feed them Truma. Tanya, as the Braisa says, as soon as a Kohen marries a woman, the Kohen avodim, or, Rashi says, this is or he acquires avodim, so both the wife and or avodim, sheyochlu b'truma, they're allowed to eat truma based upon the pasuk. In this week's parsha, as I mentioned, in Parsha's Emor, at least the Chutzlar, it's Parsha's Emor, Shemar, the Kohen kiyik nenefesh kinyan kaspo, hu yochabo. So this eved, or the wife, either scenario, where the wife who was previously not a Kohenis now marries a Kohen, so she's allowed to eat truma. Any avodim that the Kohen purchases are now allowed to eat truma. This is called Kinyan Kaspo. And if the Kohen's wife were to go and purchase avodim, or va'avodav shekonu avodim, or if he has avodim and they purchased avodim, now normally we would say, of course, eved shekona dovor kona rabo. So that's what Rashi is over here. So why do we need a pasuk to tell me Kinyan Kaspo that the Eved's acquisition of another Eved is also allowed to eat it? It means, essentially, if an Eved acquires an Eved, that it, the Kohen acquired an Eved. So the answer is, as Rashi points out, if somebody were to give the Eved a present, Kedoshin Oslo La Eved Mana Al Menash Ein L'Rabo Rishuspo, that they give the Eved something, and the condition that he acquires it is only that it's not acquired by the master. Now, not everybody agrees with this. Last week we had the Oroch Lanera says that not everybody agrees with that, but that's the way Rashi understands this over here, and that's the simplest way to understand this. So that's how we have the case. If a woman purchases avodim, or if an eved of a kohen purchases avodim, so the woman is the wife of a kohen, and she purchases and she has avodim, or the avodim that they already own, get avodim that they don't have technically the halachic right to, it was, again, al menashe ein lil rabu rishuspo. Nevertheless, in both of these situations, sheyochel b'truma, the eved of the woman or the eved of the eved is allowed to go and eat truma. Why? Again, this pasuk shtema b'kohen ki yiknekef nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochel bo. That tells us that kinyano shekana kinyan ochel. Even a kinyan that acquired a kinyan, the wife who acquires eved, the eved who acquires an eved, they're allowed to eat. So how come in our Mishnah we said that the marriage was chal, so if the Alman who married the Kohen Gadol has avodim, so the Kohen acquires them, so why can't they eat? Whether they're nirsei melug, and certainly if they're nirsei sobazel, we said they could eat, but why can't the nirsei melug eat? So the Gemara wants to suggest, because kol ocha machil, kol she'ena ocha leina machil. It's only that you can have king and kaspo if the person can eat, then anything that they acquire can eat. Kol ochel is machil. But if you can't eat yourself, kol she'ena ochel, the almona can't eat. When she marries a kohen gadol, the kohen hedjo, when he marries a grusha chalutza, they can't eat. So therefore, their possessions can't eat as well. Kol she'ena ochel, eino machil. So we want to say, that's why not. Gemara says, that's not right. Below, vari orel, v'cholatz meim. An orel is not allowed to eat truma. A Kohen who's an Arul, he wasn't allowed to be circumcised, whether through no fault of his own. It was his older brothers all died during Bris Milah, so it's awesome to get a Bris Milah, or for whatever the reason, he didn't get a Bris Milah. Or a person who's Tameh, he's not allowed to go and eat Truma. So, She'ein and Ochlin, so they can't eat Truma. Nevertheless, Umachilin, if they have property, if they have Avodim, or they have animals that are eating vetch, or the animal fodder that's Truma, Machilin, they're allowed to go and have the meat. So, just like the Arul and the Tameh can't eat, but their property, the Kinyan Kaspo of them can eat, so too. This woman, the Almana, the Kohen Gadol, or the Grusha, the Chalutza, the Kohen Hedjo, while they can eat, their property should be able to eat. Who says, no, there's a difference over here. The Arul and the Tomei, it's a temporary situation. Their mouth, so to say, causes them distress. As Rashi says, Klomar, Mechusrei Takantahem. The Arul is lacking a circumcision, but as soon as he gets a circumcision, he'll be able to eat. And likewise, the Tomei person, as soon as they become Ois Tomei, so then they'd be allowed to go and eat. Om dim lisakin, Rashi says, they're waiting to be corrected. Velechol, and then they can eat. But this woman, the almana, will never be allowed to eat truma. Avozu, she nasis chalala, she's a cholol now. The grusha is a chalala. So ain't lo tikkun olamis, so she is never going to be able to go and eat truma. So the Gemara says, that's the difference between these cases. Gemara says, okay, what about a mamzer? Vari mamzer, she'ena ochel umachel. A mamzer can never have a correction. The mamzer nebuch, through no fault of their own, is a mamzer. And a mamzer is not allowed to go and eat truma. Nevertheless, he's not allowed to eat umachel. But if he is a kohen, biologically, so then, even though he's a mamzer, so nevertheless, he can make his kinyan kaspo eat. So here we have a mamzer can't eat, but is machel. So how come the almana, the kohen god, the grusha chalutz, the kohen hedjot, even though they can't eat, they should be able to be machel? So we'll have several terutzim for this. The Gemara says, "Amar Ravina, kinyan ochel kamar." The understanding here is that your kinyan that can eat is talking about kinyan ochel machel. If the kinyan can eat, so then it can make anything else eat. But a kinyan she'ena ochel eino machel. So here, that's the understanding that the kinyan itself can't eat, so then it can't have something else eat. But a kohen who can't eat could be machel something else. So the Almana the Kohen Gadol, she's the Kinyan Kaspo. So if the Kinyan Kaspo can't eat, then the Avodim can't eat as well. And that's why this is different than the Mamzer case. The Mamzer is not a Kinyan Kaspo. The Mamzer is the Kohen himself. If the Kohen can't eat, he could still be Machel. But if the Kinyan can't eat, so then the Kinyan can't be Machel. And the Almana the Kohen Gadol, or the Grusha Chalutza the Kohen Hedjot, they're the Kinyan themselves. They're the Kinyan Kaspo. So their additional Kinyan Kaspo of them cannot eat if they cannot eat. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two is from Rava. But Rava Amar midaraisa mechalachli. In fact, the din daraisa is 100% that they can eat. They are kinyan kaspo. But what happened over here? The rabbis made exera. V'rabbanan hu d'gazri v'hu. The rabbis instituted exera because we want the amana to be divorced from the kohen gadol. We want the grusha chalutza to be divorced from the kohen hedjot. And therefore, the rabbi said, don't let the kinyan kaspo eat. And therefore, the amana is going to say, the grusha and chalutza, they're going to say, k'deisha tomar, ani eni ochelas. I'm not allowed to eat truma. And not even my avodai are allowed to eat truma. Avodai in an ochlin. So all I am is essentially a zona. Zona he etzlo. I'm not really considered his kinyan. I'm just considered somebody that Nebuch he's doing an aveiru with. And therefore, it's going to spur them, hilkoch osi liafuka. This will lead them to have a fight, and they'll end up resulting in having divorce, which is what we want. So therefore, it's a rabbinical decree, Rabbah says, don't let the kinyan kaspo follow the din daraisa, which would allow them to eat, but make this din darabon an exera, don't let them eat in order to spur them to get divorced like the din should be. Teretz number two. Teretz number three is from Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Gezera, it's also a Gezera, but a different Gezera, Shema Tachel Yachamisa. If we allow the Amon of the Kohen Gadol to eat now, or the Grusha Chalutza of the Kohen Hedjot to eat now, you know what's going to happen? They're going to continue eating after their husband dies, when they're not allowed to eat Truma. So therefore, don't let him eat now, because in case the husband dies, they're going to continue to eat Truma. Where it says, wait a second, Elamayata, then any time that a non-Kohenes goes and marries a Kohen, we shouldn't allow them to eat Truma, because in case the husband dies and they don't have children, so then they wouldn't be allowed to eat Truma, but they'll forget and think, once I'm allowed to eat Truma, I'm always allowed to eat Truma. So then the same thing should apply. Bas Yisrael, Shenisei, Slikohen, also Lo Tachel, shouldn't be allowed to eat. Why? Xero, Shema Tachel, Yachamisa, because the same exact thing should apply. We're concerned that she'll continue to eat after the husband's death if they don't have children. So why are you saying, Ravashi, that we should make a zera over here that the Amana shouldn't eat, because when she marries a Kohen Gadol, she could technically eat, but the rabbis made a zera because in case he dies, she'll continue to eat. The Grusha Chalutza, they technically could eat, but the rabbis made a zera in case the Kohen dies, so the Grusha Chalutza may continue eating. But that's ridiculous, because then you should make the same zera whenever a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen. She shouldn't be allowed to eat Truma, because maybe the Kohen will die and they don't have children, so therefore she's not allowed to eat, but she'll continue to eat. So Ravashi says, no, that's not what I meant. Elomar Ravashi. Ravashi said, I was dealing with Bi'amono Kohenes. I was dealing with an Amon who married a Kohen Gadol. This Amon was a Bas Kohen. And therefore, she is allowed to go and continue to eat Truma after her husband passes away. Let's say she married a Yisrael. But they died. The Yisrael died. And they didn't have children. So then the Amon goes back to Beis Avia. And she's allowed to eat Truma. So this Amon is allowed to eat Truma as a Kohenes. She's a Bas Kohen. Her husband died. She returns, Shavu LeBeis Avia, Kinurel. She goes back to her father's house, just like she was as a youth, and therefore she can eat Truma. So now she can eat Truma. She marries the Kohen Gadol. If she's allowed to eat Truma, like the Din Daraisa, Ravashi says, is, so then she's going to continue eating Truma when she marries the Kohen Gadol. But that's not allowed. That made it into a Chalola. Then when the Kohen Gadol dies, the Asil Yoruye, she's going to say to herself, hey, I was able to eat Truma before I married the Kohen Gadol. I was able to eat Truma while I was married to this Kohen Gadol, and now that he died, I'm still able to eat Truma. But that's not true. Meikara achle b'truma d'veinasha. Originally, she was able to eat Truma because it was her father's house. She was a Bas Kohen. Then, in Sevele, she married the Kohen Gadol, lahai achle b'truma d'gavroi. She's eating based upon this din, that the Kiddusha was chal, and you're saying the din d'arais is that technically she is allowed to eat. So then, she was eating because of the Kohen. Because of his Kohen Gadol, she's married. However, now that he dies, or technically he divorces her, Bahashto, she thinks, Hadri li lemilse kamaisa. I go back to Beinasha. I go back to eating Truma, v'chazer leveis avia kinurea. But she doesn't. V'lo yada. She doesn't realize the meikara lo shavisa lenafsho chalola. Originally, when she was a widow, she wasn't a chalola. So she was allowed to go back, v'chazer leveis avia kinurea, and eat Truma. But now, when she gets divorced or dies, the Kohen Gadol dies, and she comes back to her Beis Avia, she comes back to her father's house, she's now a Chalola, because she wasn't allowed to marry the Kohen Gadol, and that passed to her, made her into a Chalola, and therefore she no longer can eat Truma. So because of this, that she mistakenly may think she still can eat Truma, so therefore, Hashto Shavisa L'Navshel Chalola, so there's a concern that she'll continue to eat Truma. That's what Ravashi says, only with an Amana Kohenes do we make this Gzeir Shemotachol Yachamisa. So it says, okay, great. So they'd only make it for an Amona Kohenes. Tenach Amona Kohenes. Amona Bas Yisrael, Ma'ik Lememar, are you telling me that you Therefore, Rav Ashi would say that only an almana who's a bas kohen is not allowed to eat truma while she's married to the kohen gadol. But an almana who's a bas yisrael could, because there's no such gezeira. So the Gemara says no. Rav Ashi said across the board lo plug bealmanusa. As Rashi points out, when we're dealing over here with an almana, so we don't distinguish whether it's an almana who was almana from a bas kohen, or she was an amana as a bas yisrael. Lo pligi rabban, and the rabbis didn't make any chilek. As Rashi says, lo pligi, lo chilku ben almana li amana. We don't make a distinction between an amana who was a kohenes and an amana who was a yisraelis. And that's Rav Ashi's third teretz. Those are the terutzim as to why we don't allow the amana l'kohen gadol's avde malug, or the grush v'chalutza l'kohen hedjot avde malug, to go and eat truma. Mark continues and says, Itma, we learned in the base medrash, HaMechaneh says, Shum Levalo, if a woman brings in evaluated items into her husband, in other words, she brings in sewn barzel type properties that are stated to be a certain value, again, $1,000, so she brings in whatever it is that she brings into her husband. So now, the marriage nebuch ends, and the husband divorces her, and she says, he omeres, Kelai, I need no tellus. I want back not just the value of the nichsei tzom barzel, I want them back. She brought in an heirloom, a family heirloom. So she brought in this oak chest, and it's worth $1,000. So she says, I would like that oak chest back. It's still worth $1,000. I would like the oak chest back, not $1,000. The husband says, I like that oak chest. I got used to it. I'm not trying to not pay you back the money that you deserve. I'm supposed to pay you back $1,000. Here's a check for $1,000, but I'm keeping the oak chest. So hadinim me. Who has the right to make the claim? Does the woman have the right to say, no, I demand in Beis Din that you give me back that oak chest that's worth $1,000? Or does the husband have the right to say, I owe you $1,000. Here's $1,000. I'm keeping the oak chest. So this is Machlokas. Rav Yehuda Amar, and we turn to some Machlokas with Beis. Rav Yehuda says, Hadinima. He says that she has the right to go and demand that the oak chest comes back to her and not just $1,000. We'll see in a moment why. Rav Ami disagrees. Rav Ami Amar, no, Hadinimo. He has the right to pay her back just $1,000 because he technically owns that tzon barzel. While he's responsible for it, So give her $1,000 and he pays her back. What's the understanding of Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda Amar Hadinimo. Rav Yehuda says, no, she can demand that oak chest back because it's a family heirloom. Mishum shevach be'savia. This is something that is associated with her family's house, with her father's house. This was her Elta Zaydi's oak chest, and she wants it. So she doesn't want the $1,000. She wants that Shevach Be'Savia. And therefore, she has the right to claim it, because that's presumed what was intended by giving over this Tzom Barzel. So, no, if there was a fire and it happened to be destroyed, so she would get $1,000. But as long as it's extant, so she's entitled to get it back. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Ami disagrees. Rav Ami Yom Daradini Mo. Rav Ami says, no. The husband is responsible for it, and therefore he can say, I'm keeping the oak chest, and here's $1,000, because I'm responsible for it. Kiva de Amar, because we learned in our Mishnah, in Mesu, Mesu Lo, we said that if the Tzom Barzel, the Avodim that we talked about in the Mishnah, if they died, so they died for him, so to say, so he still owes her $1,000 for the Avodim. They had a heart attack, and they died, so he is out the $1,000, not her. And likewise with Hosiru, if they went up in value, the cost of servants goes up, so therefore they went up in value. Hosiru, low, he gets the benefit. He still only has to pay $1,000, even though they're now worth $2,000. So since Ho v'chayev be'achriyus son, since he is ultimately responsible for them, yochelu, that's why they're allowed to eat truma. So to over here, since he's responsible for this oak chest, so he has the right to say, I'm keeping the oak chest, I'm responsible for it, here's the $1,000. That is what Rav Ami says. The Gemara says, Amar of Sapra, that's wrong. You misunderstood the Mishnah. Mikitane the Hain Shalo. The Mishnah didn't say the Tzom Barzel belonged to him. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, Ho v'chayev be'achriyuson, Tani. It said he's responsible for them. But Uli Olam lav dide ninu. They don't really belong to him. They belong to the wife. He has to pay for them, but they belong to the wife. So therefore, Rav Yehuda's opinion makes more sense. So now the Gemara asks, V'kol hecho d'chayev be'achriyuson, ochle b'truma. You're suggesting, according to Rav Ami, anytime that you're obligated in the payment, you're chayiv in the achrayis for them, you're responsible for them if they get destroyed or lost or they go down in value, you'd have to pay the full value for them that was estimated, $1,000, so then they're allowed to eat truma, that's what you're saying? But we learned in the Mishnah in Trumos, so it says over there, Yisrael shesachar para mikowein, if a yid were to go, a regular Yisrael were to go and rent a cow from a Kohen. So what's the din? Well, the cow belongs to the Kohen. The cow can eat truma. It can eat the vetch. It can eat the animal fodder. Harezi achilenu karshine truma. It can eat this vetch, this animal fodder, because the Kohen is the one that owns it. So even though Yisrael rented it, the Kohen is considered the owner. As opposed to Kohen shesocha bar Yisrael. If a Kohen goes and rents a cow from a Yisrael, so the Yisrael owns it, and while the Kohen is responsible for it, afal pi shemizonosel alav, even though he has to feed the animal, lo yachileno karshine truma. He's not allowed to go feed it the truma that is the animal fodder, the karshinim, the vetch. So you see that even though he's responsible for the animal, he doesn't have to go and feed it. So how can Rav Safra say that? So that's why the Tzom Barzel is allowed to go and be fed truma by the Kohen. We see that that's not true. And therefore, if we do say that he's allowed to go feed him in the Mishnah, it must be because Rav Ami is right, that the husband is in fact considered to be the owner of the Tzom Barzel, so much so, not like we just answered from Rav Safra that it's only because he's responsible for it. No, he's considered the real owner of it. Who says, no, that's not right. Vitizbro, you really think so? Yes. When we say he's responsible for it. So when you go and rent something, you're chayiv in case it was stolen from you in a regular theft, or you lost it, you weren't careful with it, you lost it. So for Gneva Naveda, you're chayiv. And some even suggest over here, even if you're a shoal and you'd be chayiv in own sin, some agoris over here own sin as well. But according to this gerusa that we have, the regular socher, the one who rents it, is he chayiv b'on sin? B'on sin, he's not chayiv. B'kachashah, or if the animal becomes weak from working it in the normal way, or b'nivchaz domel, or if it somehow lost its value, the price of that item went down, or it got weakened in some way, so it wasn't as valuable. Mim chayiv, would he really be responsible for it? No, he's not responsible for it. As long as he didn't abuse it, wasn't negligent, as long as he's using it in the normal way, even the shoal would not be chayiv for mesa machmas melacha. If you borrowed a cow to go and plow with it, and then you plowed with it properly, and the cow dies, you're not responsible for it, even as a shomer. So therefore, it's not because he's really responsible for it, because he's not really fully responsible for it. He's partially responsible for it, for geneva vedo, maybe even own sin, but he's not responsible for everything. So that's why in the Mishnah in Trumos, where he's not really responsible for everything, so in that situation, you can't, the Kohen who rents it from the Yisrael, can't go and feed it Truma. But in our Mishnah, on the Omer Aleph, so there, the Kohen is fully responsible. This is Tzom Barzel. He's responsible for it if it gets a heart attack. He's responsible for it if the prices go down. He's responsible if armed robbers come and steal it. Every scenario, he said, I'm going to pay you $1,000 for this. It's Tzom Barzel. Whatever happens to it, Hosiru, Hosiru Lo. He's the one that loses out. So therefore, in the Mishnah, where he's fully responsible, so it's considered like his. So that's the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Trumos, and therefore Rav Safra is correct. And this isn't a riot to Rav Ami. This, in fact, is a riot to Rav Yehuda. But if you want to compare it to the Mishnah in Trumos, go to the Seifa of the Mishnah in Trumos. Ha'alodamia elele Seifa. If you keep on reading that Mishnah in Trumos, it gave us another case. It said, Yisrael shoshom parim mikoin. If Yisrael were to take a cow from a Kohen, and he was shaman. He says, I accept upon myself its value, 100% of what it is right now. So it's worth $1,000. I will pay you back $1,000 if I don't give you back this cow. So then, lo yachilenu karshine truma, then he's not allowed to feed it. The Yisrael is not allowed to feed this cow the previously allowed truma, the animal fodder, the karshinim, that the Kohen could, because it's considered as if he is fully responsible for it, so now it belongs to the Yisrael, even though the Kohen technically is the one that still owns it. And vice versa, avo Kohen shesham par Yisrael. If the Kohen did the same thing for Yisrael, he takes himself the cow, and he says, I will give you back $1,000 to this cow no matter what. So then he is allowed to yachilenu karshinei truma. So this is exactly comparable to the case of our Mishnah. So therefore, Yosef, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Bishulei, Pirkei, the Rav Nachman, Rabba and Rav Yosef, they tried to answer our question. At the end of the Shir of Rav Nachman, they tried to answer our question. Is the halacha like Rav Yehuda, or is the halacha like Rav Ami? So they were sitting together, Yosef, Karmrei, Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Yehuda, Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Ami. We have a brice in support of the Amora Rav Yehuda, a brice in support of the Amora Rav Ami. What are the brices? Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Ami, we have a brice in support of Rav Ami, Abdei Tzom Barzel, Yotzin, Bishen, Va'ayin, Le'ish, Avaloli Isha. There is a halacha that if you have an eved and you are there with them at the time that they lose their eye or they lose their tooth, so you are involved with them at the time that they lose their eye or their tooth, and you knock it out, so then they go free. This is called the din of shein va'ayin. Though only the owner this happens to, if he's the one that knocks out the eye or the tooth, so the owner is the cause, so therefore they go scot-free. If somebody else knocks out their eye of the tooth, they don't go scot-free. So in this situation where it's abdei tzon barzel, the wife brought them in, the husband takes full responsibility for them, and therefore he is considered the owner of them, and therefore if he were to knock them out, the abdei tzon barzel would go free. But if the wife were to knock them out, they wouldn't go free. So what do you see from here? That the husband is considered the actual owner. If the husband is considered the actual owner, so in my case of the oak chest, so he can say, I'm the owner of the oak chest, not you, and I can give you back $1,000. I don't have to actually return the oak chest to you. This brisa seems to support Rav Ami. We have a brisa that supports Rav Yehuda, Tani Kavasi Rav Yehuda, that says, no, the wife can demand to have back the oak chest because of Shevach Beis Aviyah. Hamachneses Shum Lebala, if a woman brings in this item, whatever property it is, to the husband as Tzom Barzel. So what happens if the husband wants to sell it? In Rotsa Baal Limkor, the husband says, okay, I'm going to sell this oak chest. Lo Yimkor, he doesn't have the right to go and sell it because it's not his. Furthermore, Velo Od, Elo Afilu Hiklis Lo Shum Mishlo. Guess what? He gave her the oak chest as a wedding present, as dowry, and says, this will be Tzom Barzel for you. I'm giving you this oak chest as your Tzom Barzel, and I'll be able to use it. I'll store my clothing in this oak chest while I'm married. But if I divorce you, so then you get this oak chest back as Tzom Barzel. El Afilu Hichlis Lo Shum Mishlo. He was the one that gave her the oak chest. It's not a family heirloom. Nevertheless, if he wants to sell it in Rotsa Balimkar, Lo Yimkar, he doesn't have the right to do it because the Tzom Barzel are considered hers. And therefore, if she demands the Tzom Barzel back, extant, she can do so, and he can't give her $1,000 for the oak chest. So we have a Bryce in support of Rav Ami and Bryce in support of Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Bryce continues and says, Machu Shneim Lefarnasa. If, well, now the words are Machu Shneim means both of them, but Rashi says, Ozeh, Ozeh. If either one of them sells it, Leparnasa, right? She says also, Leparnasa is Urcha de Milsa. That's the normal reason. Normally, you don't sell property unless you have no choice. You need it for food. So the Urcha de Milsa, they wrote down here the common scenario why you would sell it. She know the Mocher, Kli Tashmishav, Elim Zonas. So the person wouldn't sell his essential properties, clothing, or other items, unless he was destitute and needed it for Parnasa. So it just gives us the common reason why you would sell it. But Lavdavka, if you didn't sell it for Parnasa, you sell it for some other reason, it also would apply. So if either of them sells it, some suggest that the husband really sold it and the wife agreed afterwards to the sale under duress. In any event, Zaria Maisel, if they Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, such a Maisel occurred to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and they asked him what we should do, was the sale a good sale? The Omri says, no, Habal Motzi Miyada Lekuchos. The husband is allowed to go and take it from the Lekuchos. What are we talking about over here? So Rashi explains, we're dealing here with the wife Nebuch passing away. Habal Motzi, Lomi Boy Dimochar Hu Below Daita. Certainly, if he were to have sold it without her permission, and then he dies, or he divorces her, or Garsha, Dehi Motzi Miyada Lekuchos. Of course she can go take it back from the Lekuchos. That's not even under question. El Afilu Mesohi, even if he sold it, and then his wife died. Who motzi miyad lekuchos? He can go take it from lekuchos because the lekuchos only had the rights of using it, but they never owned it because he never owned it. He now owns it, but that's after the sale. The mechira lav mechira boy. This mechira wasn't a good mechira, and the Bach adds the words over here, and he says, Habai calls man shehi kayemes shemayomusu b'chaya. Because if he were to die any time while she was alive, so then the deal wouldn't be a good deal. So therefore, it's not a good deal in this situation as well. Now, you clearly see from this brisa, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the husband doesn't have the right to sell the Tzom Barzel. How do we paskin? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Rava said to Rav Nachman, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin, like in fact, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the wife can demand the oak chest back, the Tzom Barzel itself. If it's extant, she can demand it back and not just take the $1,000 that it's worth. So that's how Rava paskin, in the name of Rav Nachman. Amar Rava, Rav Nachman. So Rava said to Rav Nachman, Vatanya kavosi the Rav Ami. But we had a brisa that was in support of Rav Ami. Why did you pick the brisa in support of Rav Yehuda? What made you decide in favor of Rav Yehuda? So Rav Nachman said, "Apel gav the Tanya Kavasi the Rav Ami." Even though we had a brisa in support of Rav Ami, nevertheless, Mistabra, it makes more sense the time of the Rav Yehuda Mishum Shevach Beis Aviyah. This concept of it's normally an heirloom that's normally brought in from the wife's family, so therefore that is an overriding concern that should be returned if it's physically extant. Maisa Shoya Hai Issa, the one who's a woman, the Ayale Legavra, when she got married, she brought in as dowry as Tzom Barzel. It's the law de Melasa. She brought in a fancy fur coat. She brought in a very special it's the law de Melasa. It literally means a woolen cloak. So she brings in a fur cloak, Biksubasa, a man's fur coat, and the husband likes it. So he was wearing it all the time. Nebuch, then he died, Shachiv. And what did the children of the husband do? Mistama, they weren't the children of the wife. He had children from another husband, from another wife, from a previous marriage. So Shaklua Yasme, the Yisomun took this fur coat. They knew how much he liked it. Ufarsua Amista. And they put it on as tachrichim on the mace. If they weren't using it as tachrichim, they're just using it to cover it up, then she'd be allowed to go take it back. But they use it here as tachrichim. And tachrichim are also banoa. Once something is used as tachrichim, it's not allowed to have any hanoa. So what happened in this situation? Amar Rava, Rava Paskin, Kanya Misna. The mace acquired it. Now, obviously, the mace can't acquire anything, but it meant that this had the status now of being Tachrichim, and therefore was also by Noah, and she couldn't get it back. Now, based upon what we just said before, so she, according to Rav Yehuda, which is how Rava said we Paskin, so she should be entitled to get the oak chest back. So she should be entitled to get this fur coat back, this woolen coat back. So how come not? So Amalei Nani Berei de Rav Yosef Berei de Rava of Kahana. So Nani, that's the name of a person who was the son of Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, said to Rav Kahana, "Wait a second! For Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Rav Yehuda. We said that the halacha is that the woman can demand the property back, the tzom barzel, the oak chest, the fur coat, the woolen cloak. So she should be allowed to go get that back. How come she doesn't?" So Amalei Mila Moda Rav Yehuda the Mechusu Gavaina. So he says, "No. Even in this situation where she's entitled to get it back, but it's lacking giving it back. It's missing the act of actually getting it back, of collecting it. And after all, the kiva and the mechusu guvaina, since it wasn't yet collected, the rishu say, koi, it still belongs to the person who physically has it. It's lacking being taken. Yes, she has the right to get it, but since it was used for something else, and now it's also by Noah, so since she hadn't collected it, she can't collect this it's the Lodome Lasa, this fur coat, this woolen coat. She's not allowed to go and collect it. And we've seen this previously. Rav Lataimei, Rav himself said this early in the Masechta. We had this back on Daf Mem Vav. It's also in Ksubos, the Omer Rava, Hektish, Chometz, the Shichrur. And we turn to Samach Zayin Umar Aleph. Mafkin midei shibud. They can remove a prior shibud. What were these cases? Just to remind ourselves, we didn't have it that long ago. You have a person who made his shor into apoteki. Apoteki is like a collateral that you collect from this. Apotekoi. From here you go collect it. So this shor is an apoteki. He borrowed $100 from Reuven and tells Reuven, you can collect the $100 from the shor. But meanwhile, before Reuven collected it, so he was makdish the shor. So being mocked as Yeshor, it has to be as a korban, has to be as Kedushas Haguf, not Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Damim, he could just then buy it back from the Hekdish for a penny and be able to get it back. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking here, he made it into Kedushas Haguf, so the Hekdish owns it, and that broke the prior claim, the apoteki claim that he had on the Shor. So you see that a prior claim can be broken, just like the prior claim that the woman had to the fur coat, to the woolen coat, so too it can be broken by the fact that they made it in Tachrichim. So that's the shor, that's the hektish. The next one was chametz, similar thing. If a yid owed $100 to Chris, the guy, and he says, my chametz will be the collateral, apotekoi, you'll be able to collect from the chametz. If I don't pay you back by a certain day, then this chametz is yours. But it stays in the yid's possession. He didn't give it to the guy. If he gave it to the guy in the guy's possession, so then it would be different. But he says, this chametz will be yours. But then Pesach comes, so the chametz is now also ba'anah, and he's not allowed to get any benefit from it. So therefore, it breaks apart the prior shibud that the guy had on it. Of course, he still owes the guy the money, but he can't collect from this chametz, which is now worthless because it's chametz shavalos of Pesach. And the third thing was shichrur. The person had made his eved to be a apoteki for a debt, and then he frees the eved. So again, the eved is a prior debt, a prior lien, but it's the fact that he freed him goes and breaks it apart. So all of these cases that Rav had said, the hektish, the chametz, and the shichur are similar to the case of the woolen coat, the fur coat that the wife had brought in as nichsei tzom barzel. Even though that's a prior shibud, it can be broken by making it into tachrichin for the mace. Let's go to the Mishnah. We'll conclude over here the Shia today with Amar of Yehuda. The wife brings in two fur coats. She brings in two kalim, two garments, two utensils, an oak chest, and a fur coat. And she brings them in, and they're worth a total of $1,000. Elev zuz. Vishavchu, but then the prices go up. So now her original oak chest and fur coat that she brought in were each worth $500. Now they're each worth $1,000. V'shalchu v'yomu v'ashnei alafim. Now they're worth $2,000. So in all, she's only entitled to $1,000 back. So echad not loso b'ksubaso. So one of the two items, which is worth $1,000, she gets back, because that's all she's entitled to is its own barzel. We don't say, well, if it's extant, she gets it back no matter what. No, she's only entitled to $1,000. So if it went up in price, it's hosiru lo. It went up to the benefit of the husband. So therefore, the husband only has to give her back, let's say, the oak chest. Now he said, I paid you back the $1,000 I owe you. I'm going to keep the fur coat. No. Here it says, echad not loso b'ksubaso. One, she gets as part of the ksuba. She gets the oak chest as part of the ksuba. The echad nosen is domim, but she's allowed to pay him $1,000, the not loso, and take then the fur coat. That she has the right to do. She doesn't get it for free, but she can force him to sell it to her for $1,000. Why? Again, because it's a family heirloom. Ibnei shevach be'savia. Because this is something that, so to say, belongs to her family, so she has the right to go and buy it back. Shmuel says, Michael Mashmal, what's the chiddush of Rav Yehuda? He's an Amora. He wouldn't be telling us something that we don't know already, and we already learned this. Shevach be'savia, didah have ha Amora, Rav Yehuda, ha dezimna. He already taught it to us one time. Why is he teaching it to us again? Does it make sense? Shmuel says it does make sense, because here it's different. In the previous case, Rav Yehuda said, Shevach be'savia, that brisa trumped the other brisa, and we think that's the important brisa to follow. That's only in a case where she's entitled to get it back as a ksuba. Here she's not entitled to get it back as a ksuba. Hani mili hecho demacha lemishka b'ksubasa. That which Rav Yehuda said previously, that she can demand to get the oak chest back, that's because the oak chest was her ksuba, and that was its own brisa. It was worth $1,000. It's still worth $1,000, and she's demanding that I want the oak chest and not $1,000. That's when Rav Yehuda said it. But who says he would have said it over here? Lo, I might have said, in this situation, she's entitled to get one of them back. She could pick, take the oak chest, which was now worth $1,000 from $500, or take the fur coat, which is now $1,000 from $500, and then you're paid back. But the other one, you don't have any rights to. So, Kamash Milan, the review is telling us now, this additional chiddush, that yes, well, she's not entitled to it for free, but she's entitled to pay for it. So once she gets for free for the $1,000 that her own barzel was worth, and the other one, which is now worth $1,000, if she's willing to pay him $1,000, she gets that one as well. With this, we conclude today's shiur.